is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
In your life. And here's the good news for you, but it may be bad news if you look at it a different way, that the purpose God has for you, He's not going to let you leave this earth till it's fulfilled. Now, that's good news or bad news based on how you take it. Because the purpose that God has prepared and designated and designed for your life, it has to be fulfilled through you. It's assigned and attached to you. And He's not going to let you leave this earth. Guess what? Because you know what I know about God? If He's looking for you, He knows where to find you. So you may as well live toward purpose while God works some things out in your life. And listen, you've got to know that God has chosen you even when you have not even been considered by people. May I be honest for a few moments? I know we don't like to be honest in church, but I don't know no other way right now. You know, we are living in a very harsh society. The ugliness of the world has crept into the body of Christ. That we are so harsh with one another. We are so hard on one another. We are so mean to one another. We are so contrary to one another. Everybody wants to give tough love. Everybody wants to beat us down. We want to beat each other down. We, as believers, don't even know how to talk to each other. There are some bad mothers who call themselves good Christians. There are bad fathers who call themselves good Christians. Because how are we such believers but talk so ugly and treat each other so harshly and think that God is going to be pleased with that? But it's a reflection of the society we're living in. And we have grown to a place well, we're so inconsiderate. We don't consider how people feel and consider how people go take it. Don't consider how people will react. We just do whatever we feel like we want to do, and it's supposed to be all right because I'm just saved. And that harshness has caused some people to feel like they don't belong to God. Our harshness has caused people to feel like they don't have anything to warrant or to offer the body of Christ because we're so concerned with our own agendas. Walk with me around the text. It's 1 Samuel 16, and God has sent the prophet Samuel on assignment to Bethlehem to go and anoint a new king. Now, if this is the case, that means that God has moved on from an old king. Chapter 15 of 1 Samuel tells us that Samuel, the present king, has been fired by God. Now you missed that, and I need you to understand that sometimes you can be fired by God and still be working for people. That just because you're occupying does not mean that God still has you in business. Don't get in trouble, boy. Just teach this lesson. Don't get in trouble. Some folk who are just passing time, who are showing up clocking in, they may get paid, but they will not get the benefits because God has fired them. God has fired Saul. Saul is the people's choice. Saul is the good-looking, tall, handsome, warrior-looking king that the people wanted. But because Saul allowed his own personal ambition and his disobedience, God says, I've had enough of Saul. But he has not removed him from the throne, but he's taken his presence from him. And so God has moved on, even though people have not. In chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, God challenges Samuel because he said Samuel is so loving towards Saul. He's so attached to Saul that he asked him, "How long will you sit here mourning for Saul? I've moved on. You still won't move on, and I got more for you to do, but you hung up on who I fired." And he says, "You got to move on. Get thee hence and move on because I've got something. Now I've got what I want. I've given you the chance to have what y'all want. And y'all see that y'all way didn't work." Isn't it great how God could stop some stuff, but God would allow people to get just what they want to realize they didn't need what they wanted? Okay, y'all don't want to be real with that. I'll be honest with myself. There are times God won't say no. There are times that God will let you get just what you say you want. And then when you get it, oh, man. And so he allows the people to have their king, but the king didn't do right. Now, God has his choice. God didn't make a mistake. God developed his people by letting them see their mistake. And God says, "Move on now, because I've chosen one of the sons of Jesse to be the next king. I've chosen a new king already." Can I tell you something good today about your life? That God is never out of options. That nothing surprises God. God is already in the next step. God is already in the next day. He's already in the next week. Nothing troubles God. Nothing perplexes God. Nothing confuses God. Nothing vexes God, because God is already on to the next step before you even knew what the last step was. God always has a plan. God has a plan A, and his plan A goes covers plan Z, because God's plan can always have adjustments. God's plan is to go and anoint a new king. But God says, "I want a king who's after my own heart. I don't want no king. I don't want somebody anointed that the people want, because people don't know what they want or what they need. But if they're going to be my people, they got to have what I want them to have, and it's got to be somebody who has the right kind of makeup. Not somebody with makeup, but somebody with the right kind of makeup." And so Samuel has to move into Bethlehem, and God tells him to go in like to make a sacrifice. Otherwise, people go get suspicious about how you go into Bethlehem. Saul may not like seeing you come try to anoint somebody else. So I'm going to send you to go make a sacrifice rather than going to say you're anointing. But I want you to go find Jesse, because at Jesse's house is the next king. Now, I don't understand why God, and this is why I don't have to be God, I don't have to understand his mindset, why God didn't just go say, "Go find David." But God likes to develop his people to learn how to trust his will more so than trusting your eyes. Glory to the Most High God. And so God comes to, he sends Samuel to this, to Jesse's house, and they're preparing a feast, getting ready to have a feast, and he's telling Jesse, "Jesse, I'm getting ready to bless your house, man. Because God has chosen someone in your household, one of your sons, to be his anointed. And so we prepare ourselves now to see, how can you be chosen and not even be considered?" Number one, I need you to understand some stuff that's going to happen when you're chosen yet not considered. Because let me tell you something, it's difficult, number one, to deal with this fact, being neglected as an afterthought. When you have to live neglected as an afterthought. How can you be chosen by God and neglected by everybody else? How can you be chosen by God and people don't even see you? Walk with me in the text still now. Because in the text, the one who's anointed, we already know this, is David. But when it comes time to go see the prophet, his father doesn't even have David come. He calls his oldest son first, Eliab. Because Eliab looks good. And here it is. I'm going to get in trouble. Even the prophet thought Eliab was the one. Even the man tied in with church thought the one who looks the part is the part. The one who looks the part is the person. I messed you up right there. Because so often in the church, we don't seek what God's will is. We put people in positions based on how they look. Because they look the part, we put them in certain positions. But God's presence is not with those people, and we putting people who God didn't select in certain positions and wondering why stuff ain't working. Because Eliab, surely being the oldest, he's tall, he's good looking, and Samuel himself, as a representative of God, says, surely This is the Lord's anointed. And God said, let me check the church real quick. Let me check you real quick, Samuel. He says, don't look at his countenance. Don't look at him like that. He might be a good-looking man. He may be tall. He may be handsome. He may be strong, but he's not my anointed. He says, don't look. I don't look like man looks. I don't look from the outside. I look at what's in the heart. And somebody, Eliab's heart ain't right toward God. Because look what he says, I have rejected. Watch this. Can I get you in trouble? Can I get in trouble real quick? He didn't say I reject him. He says I reject this. Something about this ain't lining up with God. See, the problem ain't the person. It's something within the person. She may be fine, but she ain't faithful. He may be handsome, but he's not honorable. They may be rich, but they're not righteous. Might be sexy, but they ain't saved. And if you keep looking at stuff from the outside, you're going to miss out on, and God's going to say, I don't accept this. I ain't got no problem with him or her, but the this that they're bringing is the problem. May I suggest to you today, y'all, that we sometimes allow our eyes and our natural senses and try to make that be God's will, even though that's not God's will for us. Then what happens when you bring that in and try to make God bless it, and it doesn't work? Now you want to blame God about your choice. Aren't you glad, y'all, that you submit to the will of God and say, Lord, will you please lead me and guide me into selecting instead of me trusting myself, because I'm tired of dealing with this. I want to receive what you have for me. I think the reason why we can't say amen right there is because many of us are still dealing with this. The this of our own will, the this of our own opinion, the this of our carnality, the this of our own self-will, the this of our selfishness. But if you want what God wants for you, you got to start saying no to this. And I believe we got some this ministry. This, we judging stuff by the natural eye. Well, he looked like a good deacon. Let's make him one. She sounds like she ought to be a good praise leader. Let's put her up there. They sound good, look good, feel good, smell good. Put them in these places. And God says, I have not rejected this. Now, let me be honest with you. Some of us are slick enough, we no longer ask God. Because we know God doesn't want that. So we don't even consult God about it. Then we deal with this. Here's the problem. Don't ask God to bless this, and he told you not to fool with that. Different sermon, different time. He moves on to Abinadab, who looks pretty good. Samuel says, this got to be him. God says, no. He moves on to Shimei, says, nah, that's not him. Then he goes a little further and says, Jesse, I know God told me right. Do you got any more kids? Any more sons? Because Samuel says, I know God sent me to Jesse's house. And I thank God that God didn't let Samuel leave based on what was offered. But he gave Samuel enough patience to see God's will through. Because if you leave stuff in the eyes of people, they'll mess you up by what they're willing to offer. But it's not all Jesse had to offer. That's just the best Jesse thought. David, he says, you got anybody else left? He said, I got one, the youngest. But he out there tending the sheep, tending the flock. Neglected. An afterthought. Didn't even think about David until Samuel asked him, I know you got something else in your house. Something ain't right, ladies and gentlemen, when God keeps saying something is here, yet God don't have it presented to him yet. You keep saying something is in Winfield, but God don't have nothing presented. You keep saying something is in you anointed, and you got all this you want to give God, but God ain't seen nothing presented yet because you're holding something back that you ain't paid attention to. You got something in your own house that you're neglecting. Something in your own possession that you consider an afterthought. You never even considered bringing your youngest son to this private ceremony. It never even dawned on you. And David has to sit through seven of his brothers being considered, and he never even get invited. I don't know what Eliab was doing. Don't know what Abinadab was doing. Don't know what Shammah was doing. But we do know what David was doing. He's tending the flock. But what were they doing to be invited? What did David do to deserve to be neglected? What did David do to become such an afterthought to his own father? Like as though he does not matter to his own father. May I suggest today, y'all, that in order to be able to deal with being chosen yet not considered, we've got to get over the spirit of rejection. It's a spirit that we never want to deal with in the body of Christ, because oftentimes nobody wants to feel rejected. And look at the problem here, ladies and gentlemen, that this spirit is facilitated in the home. That many of us can't handle rejection in the world because we got rejected at home. Father didn't even pay attention enough to even bring him to the party. Left him out there, you didn't even think enough of him to bring him to Samuel. Even if you didn't feel like he was the anointed one, least you could have done, since he's a son, is bring him, give him the same opportunity that you gave the other sons. Parents, be careful today that you don't cause one child to feel rejected because you see something in another child that you don't see in that one. Least you could have done is given him the same opportunity. You should have been used, Jesse, to a no by now, because you've been through seven sons. What's one more no that you couldn't have brought your son, but you'd rather make him feel neglected, and he's an afterthought? Look how David has to deal. Can y'all feel David in 2021? That God is calling, but even my daddy don't think enough of me. Who am I talking to this morning? Who the reason why you feel the way you feel about yourself is because nobody in your home ever told you you were great. Never told you could be something. They always told you, you're just like your no good daddy. Just like your no good mama. You ain't never gonna be nothing. I'm sick of you. I'm tired of you. I wish you'd leave. I wish you'd get out of here. All this rejection stuff that's been put in us. So watch this. That spirit, that void has to be filled. And the problem that we don't talk about is that many times familiar rejection will cause you to be accepted in unfamiliar territories. Somebody wants you, but sometimes it's the wrong ones that want you. But because you just want to be wanted, you will accept anything because it will accept you. I've been not getting too much trouble there. But I wish I talked to some real people who have made some mistakes because you went somewhere just to feel wanted. Because where you wanted to be, where you should have been, did not want you. So you just went and took anything just to feel something. I know he ain't good for me, but at least he fooled with me. I know she ain't no good, but at least you fool with me. I know that situation ain't good, but at least it's there, because where I want to be, where I should be, where God placed me, they don't want me. So in order to feel wanted, be careful, because we'll just go where we're accepted. That's a psychological, physiological need that we have to be accepted. It's in every human being that you want to belong to something. This is why gangs are so prevalent. This is why cults are so prevalent. This is why other world stuff is so prevalent, because people want to belong to something. Ain't it a shame that mother and father don't make you feel like anything? Ain't it a shame that the church don't make you feel like anything? Unless you meet this certain criteria, you're nothing. Many times, ladies and gentlemen, the reality of it is we're an afterthought. You're not even considered by your own family. How am I supposed to believe God loved me and my own family don't love me? How am I supposed to believe that God is good to me and my own people ain't good to me? You come to church and you took care of their kids. But mama, you ain't fed us all week. Daddy, you've been showing up preaching and been a deacon, and you've been taking other kids to school and taking up, but you ain't took care of us. Can you imagine the psychological damage that it does to young people to see that they're being neglected and they're an afterthought? But then we're upset when somebody on the corner say, come here. Come here, little buddy. Come here, sweetheart. Come here, sweetheart. Come, because they want to feel love. It's a need every last one of us have. And I want to kill that assignment, making you think you don't need people, meaning that you don't have a need for belonging. Everybody with breath, everybody with a pulse needs to belong to something. You want to feel wanted. It matters to know that you matter. And the danger we're in, that's why many who God has chosen have left God, because God's people have treated them as an afterthought. Because they didn't look the part. That's why God gives a warning to Samuel, to all of us, stop looking at this stuff naturally. Stop looking by the outward appearance. I know she don't smile. You know why she ain't smiling right now? Because she's praying. You know why he keep grinning? Because he up to something. Stop judging this stuff naturally. I know he got a good bank account. You know why? Because he don't pay no bills. He don't take care of his kids. That's why he got enough money to spend on you. I know she looks good. I know she takes care of herself. You know why? Because she don't work nowhere. She got that good shape because she don't eat. You know why she don't eat? Because she don't cook. Oh, I might well go and get in trouble while I'm here. Because we're judging stuff. Tell the truth to us today. That we don't even want what God's best is because we're looking at our worst. How many of y'all who don't mind admitting beside the preacher, you made a lot of terrible decisions based on your natural eyes? I didn't seek God for some stuff. I didn't seek God about certain people. It looked like the right thing to do. Everybody else doing it, why I can't do it? Everybody else goes, why I can't go? He's an afterthought. So you got to deal with that. That even if mama and daddy, your best friend, church, community, don't pay you a bit of attention, here's God's word to you today. I want you. I know they ain't shouting. Well, I know they ain't shouting, y'all. But God's desire for you is not based on people's attention. Don't confuse people's attention with God's attention. I need you to know, child of God, that God sees those secret tears. God knows those secret struggles that nobody even pays attention to because you're an afterthought to most people. They just assume you're all right because you don't say nothing. They assume you're okay because you just don't voice it. Some people voice it and complain all the time, but God has a word for somebody today. God says, I hear every cry. I've seen every tear. I got my eye on you. I'm not wasting you. I got a plan and a purpose for your life. Watch this. And I'm getting ready to lift you up in a place where the people, in front of the very people who denied you, who neglected you, who turned you away, who left you out, I'm getting ready to lift you up amongst those very people. Watch this, though. As I push it, if I push it a little bit, because you're neglected and treated as an afterthought, but watch this, though. Here's another truth to this. You got to be connected to your assignment. Stay connected to your assignment. Yes, you are neglected as an afterthought, but stay connected to your assignment. Watch this. Is there another son? You got another son somewhere, Jesse? Yeah, I got the youngest. But he out there tending sheep. Missed it. Try again. You got any other options for me, Jesse? Well, you got any more sons? Well, yeah, I do. I ain't think he's worth bringing. Because he out there tending to the flock. Third time's the charm. Just as you got anything, I know you got another son, because I know God sent me here. It's got to be something here that God wants me to get. Well, I got another son. I can't lie to you about that. But that I don't believe you really want him. Because he's dirty, he's filthy, he's fooled with sheep all the time. Can I tell you something about him right now? We at a party, he's serving. Everybody else looking good, smelling good, sounding good. Where's the other son at? He is out there serving, tending to the flock. Well, wait a minute. God's choice to be the anointed king is serving. God's choice to lead people, to lead sheep, is tending sheep. Y'all missing God. Y'all missing God. Y'all missing God. I need you to see God. God, watch this. David does not start tending sheep after the anointing. Can I bless somebody? It's his service that connects him to the anointing. It's what makes him attractive to God, that he is faithful even though nobody even paying attention to him. He's serving as an afterthought because it's the right thing to do. His family not even celebrating him for his faithful service. They're benefiting off his service and won't even let him come celebrate. They're benefiting from his stewardship and they're keeping him out there in the field. And his service gets him noticed. He's found service. He's found in service. He's not trying to find something to serve. He's found while serving. This is how I'm going to get you. I'm sorry. He's not serving where the crowd is. He's serving away from the crowd. And his service draws the anointing. The anointing don't draw his service. Whether they call his name or not, he's tending the flock. He's a young man here. Can I give you a glimpse of the future? Can I give you a glimpse of your future? If you just stay in service. Watch this. He's tending the sheep. Then, as an old man, the Lord is my shepherd. It becomes part of his testimony that God's using his ability to be a shepherd and allows him to live as a shepherd to lead his people. While knowing that the Lord is his shepherd. I know that it's thankless what you're doing. Because some people, can I be honest? Some people are on Facebook for a few minutes posting what you do every day of your life. What you do daily, because you know that's what God has assigned you to do, nobody knows you do it. And somebody who just come and try to perpetrate and get popularity, they do what you do, and they get all the likes, they get the comments, they get the accolades, they get an award, the Chamber of Commerce recognize them. You've been doing it for 20 years, and nobody even knows. And you're tempted to say something about it. You're tempted to put yourself out there because maybe I need to make myself more known to maybe get this kind of celebration. Maybe I need to put myself out there so people will see what I've been doing. God says, if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that a Savior's come, be not dismayed when men won't believe you. He'll understand and he'll say, well done. You keep doing what God says do privately, God will reward you openly and publicly. You don't do it for people, you do it for the Lord. Oh, I thank God helping somebody. I thank God helping somebody. Because you're tempted to give up on doing what's right because you've been doing it for years. But now since people got Wi-Fi and cameras, it's some folk that's really, and it's making you just say, well, what's the point? What's the point? They done got come-ups. Everybody celebrating them. Now I try to do it the right way and not brag on what I do. I'm trying to do the best God told me, because God told me in his word, don't brag. Do it out of my heart. And these folks doing it from their wallet. And I'm tempted. My foot almost slipped. And I'm finna, if you can't beat them, join them, I'm not well gonna do like they do. God says you stay doing what I assigned you to do. Because watch this, y'all. Watch this. Whether Facebook see it or not, God always sees. Why else does God say, I look at the heart? In other words, I'm looking at your motives for ministry, not just your method of ministry. I don't care about you shouting. I see your selfishness. I don't care about you being there every day. I see your selfishness. I know the difference between being there faithfully and somebody being faithful. God says, I know the difference. You may be fooling people, but you'll never fool God. God's word to somebody this morning is stay steady. Stay steady. Keep doing it because it's the right way to do. My Bible tells me my gift makes room for me. I ain't got to make room for my gift. It burns me up, and I understand the principle, and I know maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, God help me. But people who record themselves doing good deeds, that burns me up. That burns me up. My soul, it burns me up because you're recording yourself feeding the hungry. And we're all telling you how great you are because you're feeding the hungry. Who's holding the camera? Because your sister needs you. Your family needs you. You went under a bridge somewhere in Chicago, but somebody in Winfield right down the road needs you. So if you really cared, you would take care of home first before you went somewhere public. Shut up. All these hometown heroes who don't even love their hometown. We need school supplies. We need a tutoring center. I don't need no more shrimp. I don't need no more crawfish. I don't need no more burgers. Our children need computers. They need books. We need resources. We need help. We need assistance. We need teachers. We don't need the stuff. One thing Winfield ain't is hungry. We're not very bright, but we're full. We don't have the resources, but we fool. We done figured out how to eat long time ago. But all these hometown heroes who want to make themselves look good and don't tell us about them tax write-offs. You ain't studying us. You need a tax write-off. Now, help us. If it's on your heart to help us, help us. But don't you dare tear down the people down here who are trying to do the same thing you're doing. Connect with us. Stop cutting us. Because we're supposed to be on the same team. We're supposed to be on the same team. But if you got to cut us to make yourself look good, something wrong with your motives. All these hometown heroes who show up once or twice a year when it's convenient and then criticize those who are actually trying to make things better. Then when you come, you never connect with who's trying. You connect. David is, he hears all this. Keep on tending these sheep. Daddy passing, getting one brother after another. I'm going to stay on my assignment. It hurts, but I'm going to stay on my assignment. That cuts me deep. He didn't even ask me to come. I'm penalized because I'm the youngest. I'm the eighth brother. The seventh brother is completion. I'm the eighth. I ain't in his number. But God says eight is new beginning. But I'm going to keep on because I can't help when I was born. And I wish people would stop denying me because of my youth. Just because I'm young don't mean I ain't got nothing to offer. I got the energy now to be out here tending sheep. Daddy don't even see where I'm trying to help him look good. And people, because I'm young, I'm supposed to be stupid. I'm young, I'm an afterthought because I'm young. I'm just supposed to stay young and never get older. But while I'm young, God has given me stuff. God is working in my heart to be a help for everybody, but my own family don't even see me. But I'm going to keep on tending this flock. It don't feel good. Keep on tending. They never call your name. Keep on doing what's right. You never get Facebook mentions. Keep on doing what's right. They never give you an award, but you don't do it for an award. No way, you do it for a reward, not an award. They never call your name. God knows your name. They don't look at their method, because I don't wish I had the money to do what they're doing. God says, I see your heart. I don't care about that money. I'm worried about your heart. I'm focused on your heart, God says. Stay connected to your assignment. Well, Samuel says to Jesse, fetch him. Go get him. We're not eating till you go get him. May I speak prophetically? Winfield, we'll never eat till we go get him. Until, I'm about to shout out my shoes. Until we stop building our own stuff, our own little agenda, and learn how to connect with what God wants, you ain't going to eat. God didn't tell you build another church. God said connect with the ones already existing. God didn't say start a new ministry. God said submit to the one you in now. But because you can't submit to the one you in now, you're going to start your own. That ain't what God said, dude. Can I speak prophetically to this city? I'm on assignment to speak prophetically. We will never eat until we go get who God has anointed. And stop trying to make who we want anointed to be the anointed one. It's the one you least expect. I'm telling you God's word. I ain't telling you what I'm telling you. I don't know who it is. I don't know where they are. But what I'm telling you is when God wants them, it's not who you want. And that's why you got a problem. We got a problem because we realize God told us no, and you don't want him to tell that one yes. And you got a problem with it. And God says, we ain't eating till you go get who I anointed. You will never embrace. You can have all the meetings. You can have all the forums. You can have all the stuff. You can have all the get-togethers you want. Until you submit to the will of God and bring in who he anointed, we'll never move forward. Why we ain't eating? Why Winfield so behind? Because we not listening to God. Why everybody around us building stuff and doing stuff? Because we not listening to God. We doing what we want to do. We don't know how we want to do it. All we done been through, we still got walls of denomination up. We still got to worry about who going to be in charge of this and who going to be over that and who going to run this and who going to run that. What church we going to have that at? Who building we going to use? Who going to get the credit? Who going to get the money? Worrying about stuff like that. Because here's the danger. Can I give you the quick danger? I'm going to leave y'all alone. Here's the quick danger. You keep treating David as an afterthought, we never hear Eliab's name again. You keep treating who God has anointed as an afterthought, you will become. Can you see it? Can you see Gina? Can you see Natchitoches? Can you see Jonesboro? Can you see Alexandria? Can you see Ruston? Can you see us? Afterthought. Because people have been chosen to be a help and a blessing, but we wouldn't consider them. Because they don't meet what we see. Stay connected to your assignment, though. Neglected as an afterthought. Stay connected to your assignment. And then lastly, here's the good news for you. You'll be protected by the anointing. Even though you're an afterthought, you shall be protected by the anointing. Time Samuel sees David, Bible says he's ruddy. I mean, he's red looking, or he's got fair skin. I mean, he's a good looking young man. He just ain't as tall as his brothers. He doesn't have the stature of his brothers, but he got a better status. He doesn't have the stature of his brothers, but in God's eyes, he's standing better than his brothers. I know y'all, man. I don't care. Because you got a way you want it to be, and God keeps saying no. And you keep trying to make it be the way God you want it to be. God said, that's the way I want it to be. Now, if you got a problem with it, take it up with God. Well, I just didn't feel like it should have happened this way. Seemed like they should have had to go through that to be that. Seemed like they should have went to some school for that. Seemed like they should have been, had to go through us. God is anointing people without your permission. God done rolls people up and you ain't know nothing about it. God has lifted people and you were nowhere around. God took ministry higher when you were absent. And you're used to, you haven't have your signature, your finger on it. And now while you were absent, God lifted it. And you got a problem with that because, wait a minute, that ain't what I figured it ought to be. Bible says David was good looking. Handsome young man. Had a good countenance. Give me that all. He took that all, that horn of all, poured it on him. The Bible says the presence of God, Spirit of God, was upon David from that day. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. The oil was on David from that day. David, I'm going to bless somebody and make church folk mad. That you can be anointed and sin. You can be anointed and mess up. But the anointing, as it protects you, it corrects you, convicts you, restores you, and revives you. Because the Spirit do more than make you shout. The Spirit will make you change. Spirit will make you say, I'm sorry. Spirit will have you forgive. If it's the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Spirit protected David while on the run from Saul. When he had to play crazy before he went to the cave. Goes to the cave, God still protects him with his spirit. through wilderness after wilderness, through bonds with Jonathan, through his sins with Bathsheba, through his family struggles with his children going crazy, David's able to say, I once was young. But now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. He was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's able to say that because of the Spirit of God on him that protected him throughout his life. Watch this, though. I got a problem. I got a real quick problem, and I'm closing. David is anointed, but it's years before he becomes king. He does not become king in verse number 13. It's some years later before he becomes king. I'm trying. In verse number 13, he is anointed to be king. But he's not yet anointed as. He's got to live knowing what God says and still not even living the reality of it yet. That means that we must learn how to live with the Spirit of God in us in anticipation for what he's getting ready to promote us to. But what did David do when he got anointed? He went right back to tending the sheep. Y'all missed it. That's the whole shot of the sermon, and y'all ain't shout. Because you ready to go get your new office. You ready to get your new digs. You ready to get your new outfit. You ready to go get your crown. You went right to the store. Start sizing it. Start getting tailored for your robe. He didn't say do that. Spirit. Poured this all on him, Spirit of God upon him. Then he went right back. Then later, he began to be a musician for Saul. The anointing protected him, and the first place that the assignment sends him is to the enemy. Because verse 14 says that same spirit that was on David departed from Saul. And now the one who's in an office does not have the presence. And the one not in office has the presence. That position you in ain't got nothing to do with no anointing. Can I tell you why some people got a problem with you? Because you got a presence on you that they don't have. They got a presence on them, on you, that the position they have can't hide. And they so afraid that presence on you gonna expose no presence in them. Bible says, clearly, Saul started eyeing David and had it on his heart to kill him. How I get to the point I want to kill, I'm supposed to be God's king. Because the presence of God is left. So, for those just call somebody in office, don't mean they're anointed for that office. Just like it means somebody who ain't in an office, they don't need an office to be anointed. You ain't never got to call me reverend. That ain't got to do with my anointing. You never got to lay hands on me. That ain't got to do with my anointing. You never got to recognize me. That ain't got to do with my anointing. I'm going to never get no oil. I'm going to never get a robe. That ain't got nothing to do with my anointing. God got his hands on me. And when God got his hands on you, ain't nothing nobody can say or do about God's hands on you. You keep thinking you need the office or the position to be anointed. No, you don't need that. You don't need that. In God's own time, you'll be a king. But the anointing helps you live life before you get promotion. Learn how to be an anointed wife, an anointed husband, an anointed Christian before you want to be anointed king or queen. Learn how to be an anointed person before God can make you an anointed promotion. Because Saul's position made him lose his mind. Because he started thinking about what he can do. I'm done. I quit. But God has chosen you even though people hadn't considered you. This word is for somebody who's been treated as an afterthought. No one's paid attention to you. No one thinks about how you feel. No one invites you to the party. But God's word to you is, if you keep on serving me with a sincere heart, keep on loving those who hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Continue to do good. Continue to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. There are a lot of phonies and perpetrators out there now. And it's caused you to feel like you're being bypassed, like nobody sees you. They keep taking from you, using you, think they're using you, because they can't use you if you're doing it from the heart. They think they're getting over. But do you understand the blessing of that text, y'all? That the very people who wouldn't even invite David, God lifted David in their midst. He made them deal with what they've been denying. And it's going to take just as much anointing to handle that, to handle being thought of, as it does being an afterthought. Because you got to be able to handle elevation even when they would not elevate you. You got to learn how to elevate. When God does lift you in that season, you can't start saying hi, 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 hi. You got to learn how to be a shepherd and learn how to help them even though they did not see you correctly. You're still chosen even when not considered. Our Savior went through the same thing. Told his own hometown who he is. That's just Joseph's son. He's just a carpenter. Who is he? But only carpenters know what to do when they put nails in their hands. See, a nail in my hand, you're going to get a mess. But a nail in a carpenter's hands, you go build something. Nails in the hands of our Savior save my soul. Nails in the hand of my Savior made me righteous. Don't let people neglecting you and saying that you're just treating you as ordinary make you forfeit extraordinary purpose that's in your life. God has called ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Matters not how ordinary people see you. And it's hurtful how people around you see you so ordinary. You know what's troublesome about us, y'all? We get so used to greatness, we don't think it's great. I'm in trouble now. You get so accustomed to greatness, you don't know how to live without it. But yet, you don't even know how to appreciate it when you have it. Why does it take you being without greatness to realize we had some great? But we neglected it. It was an afterthought. Jesus was neglected by the leaders, chief priests and scribes. He's nothing. He's not this Savior we're talking about. He kept on being Jesus. They didn't want to hear him. They rejected him. They arrested him. They crucified him. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He went on anyway and kept on tending sheep. Kept on tending to us. Because he had heaven. He had the cross on his mind. Not what they had to say. And kept on with his assignment. And he gave his life, shed his blood. God, on that third day morning, that you and I might be a part of the Holy Family. Chosen, even when he was not considered. You got power today to be the very best you are called to be. Matter of fact, through that David coming up, do we find the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus comes from David being promoted. If you just stay steady, stay serving, stay submitting, there's some great things that's going to come from this. None of them were in that genealogy, y'all. You had some people. You had some stuff in that genealogy. The only real king was Jesus. And even he came in through modest beginnings, lived in a modest ministry, came to Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. On an old rugged cross, he gave his life. Nothing was wealthy or rich about him. Afterthought. Oh, but when it comes down to needing your soul saved. And what gives me power today, what gives me strength and gives me peace, that the name of Jesus, every knee had to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're chosen, and you're still chosen whether people consider you or not. But I pray today, I'm praying with you, and for you today about that spirit of rejection. The Lord said something powerful to somebody today with that. The rejection has caused you not to live. You're living every day not to be hurt or rejected, instead of living every day to love and be what God has called you to be. Just try not to get pushed out, so I won't even give it a chance. I've been told no so much at home, I won't even ask the question outside of the home. Because if home ain't telling me what I can be, why would the world tell me what I can be? So if I've been told nothing, I've been raised to be nothing, I'll live like I'm nothing. The spirit of rejection being facilitated in young people right now. Watch how young people walk with their heads down. Watch how people can't look people in the eye because they've been beat down through a spirit of rejection. No one has told them, hold your head up, you're a child of God. Hold your head up, you're my child. I love you just as you are. I love you. You belong to God. Only know you by your mistakes. Only know you by my pain. And they walk with their heads down. They can't look you in the eye. That's why they're more comfortable with who is on their head. Because they don't show their identity. Because they're not even happy or proud of who they are. They're rejecting themselves and don't give the world a chance to. But God said to you young people, you are chosen even when people don't consider you. That teacher says you're nothing. God says you can. Let me kill this lie now. We're going to pray. And we're going to figure out how to beat this system that's designed right now to destroy our young people through this virtual learning, through this face-to-face learning. We're going to make them A's. We're going to pass them tests. We're going to overcome it. We're going to figure it out. We're going to connect with somebody. God's going to send some anointed people who can help us help our children. Parents can't figure this stuff out. It's designed. Virtual learning, I better not get in trouble. Virtual learning is supposed to help keep them safe at home, but they're confused at home because of what they're seeing virtually. Which means they got to go back to an unsafe environment and then struggle, and now they got to worry about their safety even though they're in class. Because every child, don't tell them I said it, it's X amount of dollars. And we're not putting a priority on money rather than saving lives. Because it's better for the bottom line to have them in the seat. Not be better for their body to be at home. So let's make virtual learning impossible. Let's make it so hard they got to go back to school. It's all right. You meant it for evil, Joseph says. But God getting ready to turn it around for good.
This is KAYT-FM. 88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.